Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, I remember when I was much younger in high school, and I'd spent time working for my dad. My dad owns a business, and eventually, when your dad is your employer, you decide it's time for me to go and find anything other than this. Right, you got to get out. And so I remember beginning to put together my resume. And how do you put together your resume? You're like, well, what can I say about myself? I am dependable. I am patient. And that one there might have been a little bit of a lie, you know. And putting down like, you know, I'm a hard worker. And you're trying to find all the positive aspects of yourself that you can and just flooding this document with everything good about yourself. Even if you're not quite there, you're like, no, I've got it handled. You know, I am good in these things. And so I remember that after writing up my resume, which made me look like a much better person than I actually am, I went and I handed it out to all these different stores in the mall and around the city that I grew up in. And then I started getting calls back. And so I'd have these interviews with people. And you know, you're expecting them to say, like, wow, like, you're an awesome person. Look at your resume and all this type of stuff. And so they asked a few questions. And then they asked this one that just drove me nuts. But it was like every single place I went to, they asked this. They're like, what is your greatest weakness? I'm going, no, I'm applying for a job. I'm telling you everything good about myself. Weaknesses, what are you talking about? And so you're thinking off the top of your head and you're like, well, I work too hard. You know, I just can't say no. You know, I'm always there. You know, I'm too dependable. Yeah, that's me. And they were never satisfied with those answers. They're always, no, like, what is your greatest weakness? See, I'd created this ideal picture. I wanted to be this person that I thought that everybody wanted me to be. But all they wanted to know about was how I wasn't that person. You know, what didn't you put on your resume? See, the problem is that the closest to perfection a person ever comes is when he fills out a job application form. It's this weird thing that we do. We try to make ourselves look so much better than we actually are. Because we want to be better. We know that we fail in these areas, you know? I knew that I wasn't necessarily great in various things, you know, like interpersonal skills. At that time, somebody would come to talk to me and I'd be like, hi. Just walk away, you know? Not my thing. And so even now, you know, I look at the commands in the Bible and I think to myself, I've got to find ways to do these things. You know, I open up the Bible, which I put over here. I open up the Bible and I read about stuff and it's like, you know, thou shalt not whatever. And I think, wow, what am I going to do? I got to really push hard to do this. Or I would hear a message on the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, these are the things that show that you're a good Christian. And I'd be like, man, I am not a joyful enough person. And so, you know, you go to the self-help book section at Chapters or whatever bookstore was there, Barnes and Nobles, and you buy a book, you know, 5 Steps to Joy in Your Life. And you start reading about joy because you figure you got to have these fruits of the Spirit. And for a while, I might actually feel like I had a little bit of joy, but then something would happen. I'd mess it all up. Something would happen, and I'd be like, I'm not joyful anymore. I'm not peaceful anymore. Or, you know, this thing I was experiencing good self-control in, I've fallen off the wagon on not eating too much cake. And, you know, you try so hard to be good people. Yes, I know, you can tell the kind of upbringing I have when, for me, falling off the wagon is cake and nothing else. Praise God. We try so hard to be really good people. And if you're a follower of Jesus here today, you know what it's like. You want to please God. You want him to look at you and say, well done. And so all you can do is push hard. You want to be the best person you can be. You want to live like God wants you to live and bring honor to God's name. But how often do we mess it all up? Often. So often. Like daily. You know, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to show love to somebody today. And then you get in the car and it's rush hour and you're yelling at people the entire way back to work. I can tell I grew up in a city. So we think that we hear from God on something. You know, you need to fix this area of your life. And probably we actually do hear from him. You need to do something about this area in your life. And so we launch out and we begin to try doing stuff. You know, he says, hey, go out and you're going to become someone that works with orphans. So we start doing research on the five best tips for starting an organization and how to work with orphans and the 10 best leadership traits to run a successful organization and all these types of things without even paying attention to what does God want this to look like? How does God want me to pursue this thing that he's laid on my heart? See, where is God in it all as we do these things? Why is it that all of our hard work so often comes to nothing? Even when we reach these heights of success, we see it time and time again with various people. They look like they're so successful, and then something happens that sends them toppling down. Could it be that there's a way to see great success in the good ventures that we undertake, or are we doomed to constantly fail at everything? To fail at life. I believe that God has something to say to us in these situations. And as anybody that's been here for the last number of weeks would know, we're going through the book of Hebrews. And in fact, this is the last week that we go through the book of Hebrews before we kind of shift gears into Christmas. And Hebrews has a lot of things to say about Jesus and about following Jesus. In fact, the author of Hebrews, is he's writing to these people that have been kind of sliding back in their faith because they're being persecuted and oppressed. There's people that are not treating them well because they believe in Jesus. And they're coming to this realization that, you know, if I were just to become a Jew again, or if I were just to, you know, fit in and do the sacrifices with all of my friends and not tell my friends about how Jesus did all this great stuff for them, then maybe life would just get easier. Maybe people would stop punching me in the face. My nose is broken 5 times now, and I'm really sick and tired of washing my shirts. You know, and so as they're going this way, the author of Hebrews is saying, no, that's not right. Jesus is so much greater than these things. Come back to him. Follow him this way. Don't go to the old ways. Why would you do that? Jesus is better than the high priests they have there. Jesus is a greater sacrifice than all the things that they're doing there. Jesus is so much greater. And then we'll see today as we wrap up the book of Hebrews that Jesus is also greater than your greatest effort. Jesus is greater than your greatest effort. Will you join me in praying just briefly here as we begin to talk about this? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come before you today and that we can learn from what you have to say. And as we read this passage here, I ask that your Holy Spirit will be speaking into our hearts and lives. That you'll highlight things that are said and read today that we need to work on. And that we won't go out and do those things on our own, but that we'll rely on you and your strength and your power and your ability as we go to make these changes. Lord, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 13 with me? We're going to be starting at verse 20 in just a second. It's on the screen behind me, or you can go on your mobile device to ascc.life, and you'll see the message notes are right there in the message notes tile for you to be able to follow along and take your own notes and all of that good stuff. So let's read this together, starting at verse 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a short passage today, I know. But I think it's one that is so utterly applicable to us, even just as a benediction, even just as almost an afterthought to just say, hey, here's a blessing for you all. There's so much that we can learn here. And we begin to see right from the get-go, now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. That God is great. God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty happy knowing that God is greater than death. That Jesus didn't stay dead, but that he rose again. And that we've got a God who can do these miraculous things that we can count on no matter what is going on in our lives. I mean, if he can overcome death, he can overcome whatever situation that I'm going through right now. He can overcome any sin that's in my life. He can overcome any weakness that is within my character or my person or my being. And then we see that the author of Hebrews says that Jesus is the shepherd who perfectly guides his sheep. Us. Now, we've got some people here that spent some time shepherding sheep. And they have firsthand experience with how dumb sheep can be. And with how they don't do the things that are best for them. And they require someone to lead them and guide them and care for them. Because they can't do things on their own without getting in trouble. Now, unless you're kind of wrapped up in your own world and think that you're a perfect person, most likely when I describe sheep that way, if you're honest, you could see yourself in sheep. You'd be like, I'm so dumb sometimes. You know, I think that I'm doing the right thing and I'm following that other sheep and he just so happens to be walking against a wall, thinking that he's getting somewhere but not getting anywhere. I hope sheep aren't that dumb. I don't know. They're pretty dumb. Okay. We heard it from the mouth of the shepherd. They're dumb. And I know for myself, I can be really dumb sometimes. I can be like, you know what? I've failed 100 times at this, but if I just try it again the exact same way on my own, it's totally going to work out differently this time. You know, we've all been there. Don't laugh. We've all been there. So Jesus is the shepherd who perfectly guides us when we believe in him, when we follow the truth that Jesus was born for us, that he died for us and took upon himself the penalty, the consequences for the rebellion that we enacted against God, and that we enact every single day. Let's be honest, people. And that through him we can have life and forgiveness and a relationship with our Creator. It's an amazing thing. He leads us. He guides us through life. We're never alone. But we have the God of the universe on our side. And so what does the writer of Hebrews say? He says Jesus leads us. He's a shepherd. He equips us. And he works through us. Those are powerful things when you really think about that, that Jesus does that for us. And so what you'll see is if you really examine this and as you read the Bible for yourself, especially the New Testament, and you begin to learn what it is that we're called to as people that follow Jesus, you may come to understand that you have been called to make a difference. You have been called to make a difference. You have a job to do. Whatever your profession or your hobby or your gender or your age or the place that you live, you are called to show Christ's love and to share the good news of Jesus with people that need to hear that great truth, that great message. Now, don't raise your hand, but I want you to consider how many of us have actually done that this week. You've been called to make a difference. You've been called to live in the way that God designed you to live. In a way that is different, in a way that's going to stand out, in a way that's going to turn heads, a way that's going to offend some people but cause others to ask how they can be different too. That is what you've been called to. You have been called to make a difference. And in that calling, you are going to fail. You have failed. I have failed. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to fail again. And again. See, you've experienced it and seen it so many times. You know, how's it going trying to have more self-control? How's it going trying to have more peace or more patience? I don't know about you, but after a while, I'm inclined to get angry that I don't have more self-control yet. I get tired of it all. You know, I'm working so hard, God, and nothing is happening. I'm not making any progress. What's going on? And I just fail and I fail and I fail. And maybe you're there too. You're like, Pastor Stephen, I am so stuck. I've been trying to get over this hump for so long. I've been struggling with this thing for so long, and I just can't get past it. You know, Pastor Stephen, I know that I need to have more patience, but I can't get a handle on it, because every time I'm doing really well, my spouse does something really dumb, or my kid does something to really tick me off, and I just lose it on them. And I totally get it. We all fail. We all mess up. We're all there. We try so hard. At least I hope that we're trying so hard, but we fail. And for some of us, we've failed so many times that we're just like, maybe I should just give up on all this stuff. Maybe I don't need to do any of this anymore. You know, who needs joy anyways? Who needs peace? You know, who needs to read this thing and learn how God designed me to live, or what God did for me? You know, I prayed the prayer, I'm good. I'm done. I'm just going to live my life now. I'm sick of failing. So why not just own it? And so you sit there and you're like, I was made to make a difference, but I keep on failing at it. So what am I supposed to do? And let me tell you what you're supposed to do. What you can do is that you can make a difference with Jesus' help. Okay, yeah, you fail, and on your own you fail, and let me tell you that you're going to be going out there to make a difference with Jesus' help, and you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to have times where you're relying more on yourself than you are on the Holy Spirit who God has put inside of you when you follow Jesus. But man, when you follow Jesus, and when you rely on him and you say, Jesus, will you give me what I need for this? Jesus, will you equip me and empower me? Will you strengthen me and lead me in the direction that you want me to go? God, will you just help me to not run ahead of you, but to walk behind you as you lead me? It is amazing what you will see that you are suddenly able to do. Because suddenly it's not about you. It's not about your weaknesses. It's about Jesus overcoming really who you are to do great things through you. Jesus' death brought us to life, and for everyone who believes, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Everyone who believes is empowered by the Holy Spirit, being changed and transformed. But God calls every follower of Jesus to continually be filled with the Spirit. Not just this one-time event, not just this thing where, well, I'm a Christian and so I have the Holy Spirit in me, but we're called to continually ask the Spirit to fill our lives. We as Christians, as people who follow Christ, and listen, if you're here and you don't follow Christ, I want you to know that you're welcome here and that we love you, but I want to share with the Christians here today and with you about what the Christian life is. And if at any point here today you're like, you know what, I'm out. I got to leave. I just can't handle this anymore. I want you to know there is no judgment on you if you decide that you have to leave, but I hope that you'll stay. And I hope that you're willing to learn with us here today. But I believe that Christians are called to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-empowered believers in Jesus. See, if you're not filled with the Spirit, then you're going it on your own strength. And if you're not allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit, man, you're going to get into all kinds of trouble. If you're just like, I feel like this today, so I'm going this way, and tomorrow I feel like this, so I'm going this way. How's that any way to live? Why not just allow the Spirit to tell you right now, this is what I want you to do? And learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in you, telling you, hey, why don't you go talk to that person, or that person there, they look downcast. Why don't you talk to them? Or you know what? You've got that $20 bill in your pocket, and that person over there, give it to them. I don't know what the leading of the Spirit right now in your life is going to be, but let him lead you. Let him change you. Let him empower you. I mean, frankly, I can't get up here and do this every week unless I've got the Holy Spirit giving me what I need to do so. You know, and you may be thinking, well, Pastor Stephen, you're talking about me needing to share the good news with people. I can't do that. Do you know how shy I am? Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you, to give you boldness, to give you words, or to show you the ways that he's designed you to share the good news of Jesus. But every one of us has been tasked with that. Jesus provides us the Holy Spirit and leads us through him. Jesus gives us what we need to do his will through the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit of Christ who works in us and enables all we do that pleases God. But you know, it's easy to think, well, the Holy Spirit did lead me. He gave me a picture for my future, and now, you know, I'm full bore into what he told me that he wants me to do. I'm just running ahead into that. And if that's you, if you're thinking, I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and so I'm just going to go out on that empowerment, and I'm going to do these amazing things because of this vision I have for the future. But you're not continuing to go back and rely on the Holy Spirit every step of the way. I think that you become like the church of Galatia, which Paul wrote to and said, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? We sit there and we're like, the Holy Spirit has changed me. He's empowered me and he's told me that I'm going to do these great things. And so now I'm going to go over here to the bookshelf and I'm going to read all these books about how businesses do this stuff. And listen, relying on wisdom of humanity, it's fine. It'll help you. But if you do that to the exclusion of the leading of the Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit, and the equipping of the Spirit, you're in for a long road. It's easy to think, the Spirit filled me, gave me these gifts, now I'm powerful and I can work hard, I can do these great things. But it's not like that. That's not the way that it works, because when you're truly equipped and empowered and led by the Holy Spirit of God, it's not you who will succeed, but it is the Holy Spirit in you who is enabling you to do great things. See, doing good in your own strength will eventually fail. Doing good with God's strength will have eternal significance. Doing good in your own strength will eventually fail, but doing good with God's strength will have eternal significance. How many of you are so sick and tired of seeing people who have built up these huge churches or these huge ministries on television or whatever it is, and then you hear about how they fell? How they did something stupid, or about how actually in the background of their life, they were actually these horrible people. And maybe at one point they had the call of God on their lives and they went forward in the leading of the Spirit, but at some point they started going forward in their own strength and they left God behind and then they messed up. And it all came tumbling down. And listen, there are people that are just so naturally gifted that they can create things with their own strength. There are corporations that have been raised up because somebody just was naturally gifted. But man, eventually you're going to fail. Eventually you're going to make that big mistake that brings you down. Eventually that thing that God had wanted you to do, it's not going to get accomplished because you're not relying on him, not allowing him to lead you. See, doing good in your own strength will eventually fail, but doing good with God's strength will have eternal significance. We've all failed so many times. How many New Year's resolutions are you still today keeping at the end of 2017? Is there even one person that is still keeping one of their New Year's resolutions? And I'm not talking about the New Year's resolutions you make around April where you're like, well, I failed at them all, so if I just adjust them slightly a lot, I'll be able to say that I succeed. I mean, like, in December, when you created your New Year's resolutions for 2017, is anyone still keeping any of those? Right? You know that we don't do well at these things, that we fail all the time. I mean, how often do we confess our sins to God and then the next day we're right back to doing them? Right? But what an amazing thought to know that even when you mess up, even when we do things that we know that we shouldn't have done, that we're already forgiven if we believe in Jesus. That time and time again, as we fail, and we will fail, that Jesus is right there going, that's all right, I got you. I'm here. I'm picking you back up. Rely on me. I took the penalty for you rejecting me already. So no matter how many times that you veer off course, I'm just going to be keeping on going, walking the path beside you, inviting you to come back on track. What an amazing thing to know that you're not on your own. That you don't have to walk through life alone. So there was the author of Hebrews encouraging these Jewish Christians to keep going despite their difficult circumstances because God would get them through it all. He knew that if they tried on their own, they would eventually fail. They were failing. You know, they were going back to the old way of living because it was easier. They weren't sharing the good news with their friends because they'd been burned one too many times by people that didn't agree with them. They couldn't stand to see them preaching Jesus. But with God, he knew they would ultimately succeed. If they would just rely on Jesus, let him give them strength. So the same thing goes for us. How will each of our lives change if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to lead us and to equip us and to empower us? How will our lives change if we then go forward in the strength of the Spirit, not in our own strength, but with the Holy Spirit's power within us, with him working through us and directing our actions and words? How would that change who we are? How would that change our community and what it looks like today if God's people truly allowed him to work through them and to lead them? Doing good in our own strength will eventually fail, but doing good with God's strength will have eternal significance. And so if you're here today and you're like, I need to go forward in God's strength. What you said, it's connected with me. Here's just a couple things that I would like you to try to do this week. The first one is this. Thank God for giving you his Holy Spirit who empowers you to do his will. Just thank him. It's an amazing thing when you just recognize what God has done and you say thank you. Amazing thing. Second thing to do this week is ask the Holy Spirit to help you resist the temptation to take the credit when you obey God. Because, man, it can be so tempting. You can do so well, and you can be like, the Spirit told me to do this thing. I did this thing. I am an awesome person. But that's not what it's about. It's not about you. It's not about how awesome you are or how much you failed. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about God getting the glory. Don't allow that pride to pull you back. Just keep on going forward. Maybe you're here and you're like, I don't even know where to start. You know, how do I step out? How do I start putting the gifts that the Holy Spirit has put in me into action? What can I do? Listen, if you're here and you don't know what to do next, if you're looking for a way to serve, to glorify God, to allow him to work through you, consider helping your church in its mission to reach the unchurched and disciple believers to be like Jesus. You can do that by going to the sign-up tile at ascc.life if you want to, and we've got a listing of ways that you can get involved in the church, and you can let us know right there. And this isn't me trying to plug ministries saying, hey, you know, we've got something for you. Two for one. But this is me just saying that if you want a way that you can serve God right now, that you can begin to learn, that you can put things into action, if you want to partner with us as a church that you belong to, then go ahead. And if you feel called to, if you would like to, I believe that every Christian is called to be involved. So I'd invite you into that today. But whatever you do, just don't do it in your own strength. Don't try doing things just because it seems good to you, but like the early Christians, do it because it seems good to you and to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to lead you, to guide you, to empower you. And you'll be amazed at the powerful and amazing things that happen in your life as you do that. Will you join me in praying this morning? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to show people your love. I thank you that you've called us into that, Lord Jesus, And today, will you just help us to be people that look to you and rely on you and your strength and your ability, not on ourselves, but that we will be people that are selfless, people that are humble, and who go forward in your strength. Let amazing things be done in Pincher Creek through people who have given it all to you. Give us wisdom as we go forward and show us the areas of our lives that we're relying too much on ourselves, Lord Jesus. In fact, right now, why don't you just begin to thank the Holy Spirit? Say, Holy Spirit, thank you so much for doing these things in my life. Will you just come and fill me again? As you've got your eyes closed and as your heads are bowed and you're praying, just asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you, I want to just speak right now to anybody who's here who's not following Jesus.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.